stand upon the mountain top so tall, looking over in that city that the Savior is preparing. Gives me faith that I'm gonna make it after all. You believe you're going to make it? You believe He's already made it for you? We're just going to live for Him. We're going to live right, spit white, and we're going to be Christians all the way through because of what He has done for us. He has done it all for us. Do you believe that with all your heart? Are you glad to be in church this morning? Are you glad you're a Christian? Are you glad you love Him with all your heart? Give Him one more hand clap of praise this morning. Praise the Lord. Why don't you turn around, shake somebody's hand, greet them in the name of the Lord, tell them you're glad to see them in church on Sunday morning. What a privilege. Place some more of that. It's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Glad you're here. Trust you've come to receive something from the Lord. How many of you enjoyed service here last night? Did you appreciate the word of the Lord? Wasn't it wonderful? Amen. Praise the Lord. God is just so mindful of us to give us spiritual food in due season. Praise the Lord. We only got, I think, a couple of prayer requests. If you just stand with me, Brother Samuel, I want you to come this morning. I totally got your last name all mixed up last night, and I'm not even going to attempt to pronounce it. Brother Gary Hall told me about four times how to say it, and I've already forgot it. But this is Brother Samuel from down in South Carolina. We're glad to have him with us this morning. God bless you, brother. We're glad to have you. We're going to look at our prayer request. He's going to pray over our prayer request. We're going to invite the presence of the Lord into the service. Then we're going to be hearing a song from Brother Samuel. And he's going to be singing it in Spanish for us. Is that right? We're looking forward to that, aren't we? Our prayer request, Little Brother Landon Davis got poison ivy on his face. I want to pray for that child that the Lord would be mindful. Also want to pray for Brother Mike Price's daughter, Amanda Brumley. She is expecting a child on November the 9th and has just had a second surgery on her kidneys. She is in a lot of pain, so we certainly want to pray for that. And Brother Samuel Shuffler has a request. He'd like to thank the church for loving him, and he loves you. And well, we just love each other, don't we? We praise the Lord for that. All the unspoken prayer requests, if you have a need today, how many of you know God's able to meet your need today? You believe that with all your heart? Brother Samuel, God bless you. We're so glad to have you with us today in this service. God bless you, my brother.
God bless you, sisters and brothers. My name is Samuel Najera. You know, my English is a little bit not too understanding, but if you don't mind, I can pray in Spanish. Lord is going to hear every single request. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Padre Celestial, en esta preciosa mañana, te damos gracias por la oportunidad que tú nos has dado, Señor, de haber llegado hasta este lugar. Es un gran privilegio para cada uno de nosotros haber llegado hasta este lugar. Ahora, Señor, te pedimos que por favor concedas las necesidades de cada uno de nosotros, sabiendo que tú eres el único a quien podemos pedirte, Señor, todas las cosas. Sabiendo que somos el pueblo más necesitado, acudimos a ti, Señor, para que tú nos des exactamente lo que necesitamos. Ayuda a cada necesitado en esta mañana. Sé con cada uno de mis hermanos y mis hermanas. Sé misericordioso con cada uno de nosotros, Padre. Si alguno está enfermo, sánalo. Si alguno necesita de fe, dásela, Señor. Cada uno de nosotros estamos sumamente agradecidos por todas las cosas que tú nos has dado, Señor. No tenemos con qué pagarte, Padre, pero en esta mañana venimos a rendir nuestras vidas para el servicio tuyo. Ayúdanos y protégenos, Señor, de todo mal. En el nombre del Señor Jesucristo lo rogamos. Amén.
All right, praise the Lord. Somebody say praise the Lord. I didn't understand hardly anything he said, but I'm sure it got through. Amen, praise the Lord. Isn't it good that God has got a variety of people? You know, you might think just little white Americans is going to be the only ones there, but you got a surprise. We've all got a surprise. God's got a people out of a people from around the world. I can't wait to be with them. How about you? Give the Lord one more hand clap of praise. Praise the Lord. Ushers, if you want to come at this time, we'll receive the morning tithe and offering you give us unto the Lord. All those that are visitors here today, we certainly want to take this opportunity to welcome you. Brother Peter Coffey and family are here visiting with us this morning. Where are you at, Brother Peter? Raise your hand. God bless you. Give a nice hand right back here this morning. Any other visitors that are here, we certainly want to welcome you to the service. Glad to have you here. All those that are streaming, we pray this service would be a great blessing to those folks as well. What a privilege it is to come to a place that the Word of the Lord, you know, is 100% right. Aren't you glad about it this morning? Does it mean a lot to you to be able to do that? Give Him one more hand clap of praise if you love Him. Oh, after all, this life is over. And our burdens have been lifted, and I stand upon the mountain top so tall, looking over in that city that our Savior is preparing. Gives me faith that I'm gonna make it after all. Oh, trials here are sometimes many, and oft times my feet grow weary, till it seems I almost stumble, and then I fall. But the tender hand that leads me, oh, it's the hand that keeps me steady, and by faith I know I'm gonna make it after all. I want you to sing it now. Oh, after all. And our burdens have been lifted, and I stand upon the mountain top so tall, looking over in that city that our Savior is preparing. Gives me faith that I'm gonna make it after all. Now by myself I cannot make it, but I know He's right here to help me. He will hear my cry if on Him I'll call. Just keep trusting and believing. Oh, that's the words I hear Him whisper. Just a few more days to labor after all. Oh, after all. And after been lifted, and I stand upon the mountain top so tall, looking over in that city that our Savior is preparing. Gives me faith that I'm gonna make it after all. Course again, after all. And our burdens have been lifted, top so tall, looking over in that city gives me faith that I'm gonna make it after all. Amen. Sing that little chorus, I'm gonna make it. Just before our brother sings for us this morning, let's sing that little chorus together. Talking about making it, He's already said that we would. We're gonna believe Him, aren't we? Church, are you awake this morning? Are we going to believe the Lord for what He's done for us? Praise the Lord. Give Him one more hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. I'm going to make it. He's already said I would. And I'll keep on trusting that He's working everything for my good. He walks beside me, and heaven is in my view. Oh, I'm gonna make it. see it.
Yes, now I'm
saying it to him.
And I'll keep on trusting that he's working everything for my good. He walks beside me, and heaven is in my view. Oh, I'm gonna make it through.
You gotta sing it one more time with all your heart.
Yes, now I'm I'll keep on trusting that he's working everything for my good. He walks beside me, heaven is in my view. Oh, I'm gonna make it through.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Somebody say praise the Lord. Let you be seated this morning. Give our brother a nice hand as he sings for us today. Sister Rebecca, you get ready to sing for us this morning.
These songs, when I start to practice, made me cry so much, because the title of this song is "My Day on the Calvary." You know, and the prophet say, if you do something wrong, you had to come back to the Calvary. And this is for me. Amen. I want to try to sing for the sons of God. Un gran escultor talló una cruz con Jesús ahí crucificado. La gente al pasar no vio nada especial en aquella obra del Calvario. Pero un hombre fue a los pies de aquella cruz y arrodillado desde ahí miró a Jesús, pero sus lágrimas no las pudo contener. Señor, quiero mi día en el Calvario, morir ahí a esa vida de pecados. levantarme hasta que pueda yo decir, ya no vivo yo, mas Cristo vive en mí. El más grande evento para la humanidad fue aquel gran día en el Calvario, porque el mismo Dios fue que descendió y al morir pagó el precio del pecado. No había nadie para ir en su lugar. Fuimos echados de la gloria celestial, pero su no las pudo contener. Y por su sangre ahora podemos regresar. Señor, quiero mi día en el Calvario, morir ahí a esa vida de pecado, no levantarme hasta que pueda yo decir, ya no vivo yo, mas Cristo vive en mí. Ya no vivo yo, mas Cristo vive en mí.
Throughout my years, from a little child, I can honestly say God has stayed by my side. Although I didn't claim Him as my Lord, He loved me through rebellion to His word, and I could hear Satan battles and I am in a constant fight. But the Lord, He still helps me to overcome. He knows the pressure that's been left on the bride. Each day is another step closer home. He's been there every day. He never leaves me. He saw each valley,
can all say amen to that, can't we? Never left us alone. Let's turn today back into the Song of Solomon, if you would, chapter 6, verse 8. I want to speak to you again today on terrible as an army. There are 70 queens, 80 concubines, and virgins without number. My dove, my undefiled, is but one. She is the only one of her mother. She is the choice one of her that bare her. The daughters saw her and blessed her, yea, the queens and the concubines, and they praised her. Who is she? Same question's been asked today, of course. Who is she? That looketh forth as the morning, fair as the moon, clear as the sun, terrible as an army with banners. Let's read it again. Who is she that looketh forth as the morning, fair as the moon, clear as the sun, and terrible as an army with banners? Let's bow our heads together. Heavenly Father, we ask your blessings on your word today. May the presence of God, I pray, speak to each hungry heart, Lord. We've not gathered here today, Lord Jesus, because it is a tradition or a custom. We have come, Father, because we believe your word tells us to do so. And yet we know when you were here upon the earth, it was your custom to go to church. If you were here today, I do believe with all of my heart, you would attend an assembly because that's what you did before. And yet you would have found no church that you could have went to that you totally agreed with. But that was not the reason you went. You went because it was the word and you wanted people to know whose side you were on. So if you were able to attend their synagogues and their churches in that day, so you wanted to be identified with the word. Most people today will be without any excuse whatsoever. If they refuse to go to a church that don't like this or don't like that, whatever more, you were our example. So, Lord, we've not come today just that we might see one another's clothes, that we might have a social gathering, but we've come that we might be able to hear from heaven how to be better people, how to know better to fight in the warfare that we're in today. Speak to us today. Teach our hands to war. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. We closed last night after angels had fallen, after they had left their original estate in the presence of God. Many thousands of years have transpired since that fall. We don't know exactly in what stage of the existence of the universe or any of that, that God started to bring things into view, into visible view, was atoms and matter and light and time. But we do know that God, before the foundation of the world, already had his plan that was already made. And as there was elect angels and non-elect angels, God did human beings exactly the same way. If God would have had only totally elect angels, none of them could have ever fallen. Had he had all angels which were placed on the basis of probation, then who knows exactly how many would have went the other way. But God protected himself in a sense of going by election. Election and predestination, of course, we know is God's own attribute in order to express himself in this way. And God chose a number, as the Bible calls, elect angels. So all angels are not elect. All angels were not on probation. All human beings are not elect. All human beings are not on probation. But I'm convinced that God has allowed people to come around the message of God for every day. Let them sit in churches, sit under ministry that were elect, even though they themselves were probationary human beings, and give them the opportunity, give them the privilege which was beyond who they were, to be able to hear and respond, and they prove themselves unworthy. It's sad. But yet we know Jesus relates the same thing in the parable of the king's son, whenever he said that the guests were invited and the guests made all kinds of excuses and all that. They cannot come and I'm busy. I've got a wife. I've got this, that, the other. And he said, you are not worthy to eat of my supper. But we know from the parable that Jesus was not inviting the bride. These people making excuses were not the queen anyway. They were not the bride. It was the guests. So it's the same and down through the ages as it was in the heavens. Now, if we can ever find a pattern of God in the way that God does things and the way that God reveals his character, he's unchanging in his character. Malachi 3 tells us that. So if God had two statuses in heaven by which there were angels and one elect, one unelect, ones which would stood upon his word no matter what come, no matter what difficulties would arise, and others who was placed on the basis of probation, then truly if God would reflect that same desire and the same imagery that he had in his mind down to the earth, it would be people divided in the exact same two categories again. So there would be human beings on the earth no matter how much that God would ever offer them mercy, no matter how much the church would try to be good to them, kind to them, whatever more, they'll never really go on with the word. And the elect, no matter how much opposition they have, there is nothing in heaven, nothing in the earth, or nothing in hell that will ever turn them away from the providence of God's election in their soul. Now, as one goes one way, the other goes to the extremity on the other side. And yet, you know, if you sit here today and you are the called, the chosen, the elected of God, you ought to be one of the happiest people in the world. To know that little trivial things about, look, friend, I realize you come to this church, you know, you're not going to be 100% satisfied with this church. You ain't going to like the singing. You're not going to like much of the way I preach or what I do or this, that, and the other. That's not the reason we're coming to church. We're not coming to church so you can sort, well, I like this and I don't like that and I like that. What rest do you go to? Do you like everything they do 100%? What Walmart do you go to? You like everything? What car dealership do you buy a car from that you like everything they do? Don't be raise your hand, but how many of you are totally 100% satisfied with your wife? Oh, dear God. Please don't raise your hand. I don't want no counseling after church. How many of you wives are 100% satisfied with your husbands? How many of you parents are 100% satisfied with your children? Don't raise hands, please. Are you going to disown them because you're not 100% satisfied with them? Of course not. That's part of your family. That's part of who you are. That's part of who you married. You can go ahead and say amen now. It's free to say amen. It's free to smile. We're past the nervous stage. So it's the same way about church. It's the same way about ministry. And now we realize, though, that Satan knows exactly how to play on such things in order to make people begin to pick and sort and stir up their indifference as it was with the angels. Now, as we looked at it last night, the angels of God, there was no alternative for heaven. There was not another kingdom per se. There was not another place they could actually go to. There was not another planet. There was not another stratosphere, hemisphere, anything like that, or they could move over into another place. The only other alternative was chains of darkness. It was the Teratoto, which was the abyss or the underworld, by which we call it underworld. Actually, it's in the world that is around us right here. And it's just in another dimension, which is unseeable, of course, by our eyes. And yet there was no king there yet. There were no mansions there. There was nothing actually that was established by which they could go to. But yet they became dissatisfied in heaven. They became dissatisfied with God. They became dissatisfied with their positions as who they were. Now they were the archae, which is the primary or the first ones to be made. Apparently God made angels by distinction and by order. We know that there are cherubims, there are seraphims, there are zoons, there are angels in degrees, and there are humans in degrees. And of course the prophet tells us that even in that eternal day that there will be people in degrees.
degrees there, because there will be kings that will live outside of the city, and there will be people that will live inside the city. So God made them in degrees, and it looks from the words that Paul chose to use also in Jude and also Peter when he writes about them, that there was something about their position. They felt like God had kept something from them some way. And there could be possibly more than what God was giving them. And they begin to reach this state of dissatisfaction within themselves. And when they did, of course, Satan seized the opportunity, and he changes from Lucifer, Daystar, son of the morning, all of that sort of thing. Then he becomes into what, as we know him today, the devil and Satan. And the change, of course, from being Lucifer to the devil was not a change by creation of God, but it came by a choice of Satan's being. Now, Carolus might not, do all angels have souls? I said, I really don't know. I do know that Brother Bram said in that day on Calvary that Satan's soul sinned. So I do know that Satan had a soul and he had a choice. But angels had the ability where it was a soul in the sense of the way we know it or not, or just a soul in the declaration that was made by choice. They had the ability to choose to leave God and choose to follow the devil. Now, after they did this, they were assigned, and they are still assigned, into these chains of darkness. There they are held. Now, a person can absolutely be chained, their being, their spirit being, chained into the realm of darkness, and yet they themselves move in and out of light. They can move in and out of light. They can move around light, but yet they themselves are actually represented by darkness itself. And we know that God had put, when these angels fell, that God had put chains, as it was mystical, spiritual symbol, that God enchained them in a region or a realm of darkness. Since then, of course, they've never been from their soul light, but they love to play with light. Now, they love to work in the realm of transformers or transformation. Now, we know that a transformer, in the sense of the way that we look at a transformer, most of these musical instruments up here have some sort of transformer on them. Inside this organ, if we take the back off of it, it has several different power amplifiers, and it has transformers. We plug it into a wall at 120. The transformer will reduce the voltage down, and it'll bring it down to 24 or 12 or whatever it is. Same with this guitar, same with these heads here, these different electrical systems that are here. If it was not for the transformer, it would entirely blow this unit all to pieces. Because even though it's 110 or 120, but when it goes on the inside, it runs into the transformer. The transformer breaks it down according to the power unit that's on the inside. Some volts needs 48, some need 110, whatever more. But most of it, they want to reduce it down to where it'll be a lot less voltage and a lot less power to work with. It produces less heat, all that sort of thing. The emancipation way it breaks up on the voltage. I won't go into that. But now watch. Whenever Satan then and these angels fell, he maintained, and so did they, the ability and the power of transformation. That power would be very usable. It would be usable when the first human being came on the earth. It would be usable when the church first started, and it is still very usable today. And that is that they have the ability, even though their souls, their beings, their supernatural being is from now chained in darkness, but they have the ability to appear as if though they are in the light. Now, the way they do that is by the power of transformation, which they were able to maintain because of what God made them. Now, remember when God made them angels, he never stripped all this power away from them. Took all of it away where they could appear, disappear, be able to come in angelic form, be able to come into dimensional travel. God never stripped all that down, but God left all of that. And a preacher, when a preacher backslides and gets away from God, if he's charismatic, if he's gifted, he'll be just as gifted when he's backslid as when he's, you know, whenever he's saved. Because God gives those gifts, and we become responsible for those gifts. So those angels were still able to maintain even an order of hierarchy. Remember when Daniel began to pray, and when Daniel was seeking the face of God and trying to find out the time frame of which God was going to deliver the children of Israel, and he began to pray, and he prayed, and he prayed day 1, day 2, day 3, day 18, day 19, day 21, and finally an angel from God comes down, and he comes to Daniel, and he said, Daniel, your prayer was heard from the first day. God, you're well, well beloved in the eyes of God, and God loves you. And your prayer was heard the first day, and I was dispatched from heaven the first day to come and answer your prayer. But actually, when I came down, there was a demon which is over the dominion of this city and this kingdom in which you live. Now, I hope you understand this. This fallen angel, even though he was now a demon, still maintained his rank and heavenly dignity in the sense of authority, and he had more authority than that angel of God which did not fall. So when the angel of God which did not fall came down to enter into that realm, this demon had more rank and more superiority than did that angel that stayed with the Word. Why? Because God made him thus, and when he fell, he still maintained that hierarchy by which God had given him. You understand me? Now, whenever he does, and he's praying, and Daniel's praying and praying, because Daniel don't know what's going on, and the angel of God is warring with this other angel, but the angel of God had enough sense to know that if you're outgunned, call for bigger guns. So he began to call then up into heaven, and down come the angel of God, which outranked this demon which was over this city. Oh, glory to God. Now he begins to war against that, and while he does, he releases this inferior angel, and he sends him down to Daniel, and he begins to explain to him, and he said, now I will be loose, and I will go fight with the prince of Grecia. Now Grecia was not the world power at that time. Grecia was not the world dominion, but there was already a demon which had been chosen apparently by Satan, which would be over the kingdom of Greece, and the transition from that Gentile kingdom was fixing to go from there unto Greece, and a demon had already been chosen. But now isn't it amazing that whenever the earth became Satan's, that he had the ability to set up a hierarchy? Now, I tell you, friends, the prophet of God tells us in Future Home that the heavens are contaminated with devils, and they ward off the blessings of God from our lives. Do you understand? When you pray and it feels like a darkness around you and heaviness around you, if you could look around and see with your visible eye, it would probably scare most of us to death to realize that those demons are hanging right above your prayer, and they're trying to ward off healing. They're trying to ward off peace. They're trying to ward off from us to have a good service. They're trying to ward off the things from the mind of God. I don't know about you. If it's greater than me, I'm going to call in for the big guns. If I'm outgunned, I'm not one bit ashamed to say, Lord, I need reinforcements. That's right. They're at our disposal if we will ask for it. Now, whenever Satan, of course, come down to the Old Testament, it was an entire different way of fighting his battle than it was in heaven. These battles, now remember, the battles came down, as the prophet tells us, greatest battle ever fought, that the battles then become from angelic battles down to human battles. So it fell from an unseen world down to a seen world. And these people, here they are on the earth, and they're living their lives as human beings, not even aware, many of them, that what they're being motivated by is an unseen world, because there's three realms above us and three that are beneath us, and we're in this realm that the prophet called the mortal stream of time. So here we are right in the middle of time, and these three realms above you and these three realms below you, and those are pushing, and here you are in the middle. The angels of God are right here today trying to affect our lives. The demons of hell are right here today trying to affect our lives, and here you are in the middle, because both of you have prime property that both sides want, and that is your soul. So it's entirely up to you, whichever way you go. But these angels in the Old Testament, the Spirit of God would move even upon the prophets, as we looked at Moses Wednesday night. How that Moses, with the Spirit of Christ on him, could intercede for the children of Israel and petition to God, God, why are you angry? God, why are you upset? And then when that anointing would back off of Moses, then Moses comes down off the mountain and gets madder than God did. What was it? He moved out from under that Christ place. And when he does, the humanity really sticks out. And that's what gets most of us in the trouble we get into. But remember, they did not have a permanent indwelling presence of the Holy Ghost. That's why you'd find David saying, take not the Holy Spirit from me and restore to me the joy of thy salvation. Because the anointing would come on them and it would anoint them and then it would leave them because the full perpetuation for sin had not yet been made. So the justice of God had not been met in a lamb. So he could not indwell in the Old Testament prophets, but he would anoint them and then it would leave them. It would anoint them and then it would leave them. But when it come to the New Testament, the justice of God would be met in the person of the Lord Jesus. So it would annihilate sin in the believer's soul. That way the presence of God could come and live in you forever and never leave you. It wouldn't come and go and come and go, be with you on Sunday and then be gone on Monday, but it would live with you forever. It is your personal inheritance, your baptism of the Holy Ghost. Now, the anointing is for singing, shouting, rejoicing, and all that. We know that comes and goes, but that has nothing to do now with the possession of your inheritance which lives in your soul. It is absolutely permanent. My Holy Ghost is mine for eternity. Praise be to God. Now, whenever Satan then sees in the New Testament church that God is doing something entirely different, he had to study it, no doubt, and watch and see how that it would develop, because he didn't understand the new birth. He remembered what Jesus had told Nicodemus, but Jesus had only dropped sparks here and here and here. Jeremiah had said something about it that he recalled about God would write the word on the tablets of the heart, but he still didn't understand and could put it together. So after the day of Pentecost, when he saw that pillar of fire come in the upper room and it divided itself among the people, and he was able to recognize these people were doing the same thing the Lord Jesus done himself. So now Satan must study him and he's got to watch him. And remember, now he's got all of these demons, which were at one time angels, in the presence of God to be able to help him. So he must study what God is doing first. Satan is a master of impersonation, but he's not an originator. Satan is not a missionary. Satan always follows the missionaries. That's right. You'll never find the devil going to Guyana and going to South Africa and wherever more and trying to get the gospel out as the first one. But he will follow the missionaries who go. And that's the way he done God. So God established his church and Satan tried this and he tried that. Now watch him. If you read the book of Acts, you can see the tactics of the devil, how that they are being manipulated and moving about because he's not really sure what to do. But by the time the epistles roll along and 30 years or so have transpired, the church has kind of been established long enough to where Satan was able to see how that God was doing it. That God had in his mind that what he wanted us, instead of having one temple in Jerusalem where everybody would come to Jerusalem, that God wanted groups of people gathering together. He would go over here and over there and over here and over there. They would start out in homes and then move to public halls. And Satan was able to see, okay, I see what God's doing. Now what God wants, he don't want one focal place like Jerusalem was, but God wants groups of people scattered all over everywhere, and he wants a shepherd over that group, and he wants other aspects of the ministry which will come and minister to that body. Then Satan said, now I've got it. Now I understand. Now that he understands, let's resume on his understanding. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 verse 12. Now the church always fought trouble. Some from within, some from without, but the church has always fought with hell. The church that ain't fighting hell more than likely is because they're kin to it. Any preacher that the devil don't hate, I'd be scared of him. Now watch this. The devil has now moved, as we're looking at 2 Corinthians, which is, you know, somewhere around 30 or 40 years, something like that. Whenever the church has become established, written around 60 AD, I believe. But whenever the church has now become established, and you find the tactics of the devil is now changed. So it's no longer as it was in the earlier days of the book of Acts, whenever Satan would just try to beat him and whip him and scare him and all that sort of thing. But now he's trying to move right among them, and Paul is actually teaching them how to war. But you know, it's very difficult sometimes because our enemy was the first terrorist. And you never know what kind of outfit a terrorist wears. Because sometimes a terrorist will look like a bomber. Sometimes he looks like a preacher. Right. Now, the devil still has the ability, and so do his angels, to transform themselves and even his own ministers on the earth as if though they are ministers of righteousness. Now, this is where it changes. You know, if we're fighting an animal, a bear, a lion, a wolf, or something like that, and we're able to look and see, oh, my, that thing is carnivorous. That thing will kill me. Look at them teeth. My, that's a very dangerous thing. But sometimes your enemy looks just like you. Now, I'm not telling you the flights that I've taken after 9/11. Whenever I've got in the airplane and sit down, and if there's people in there that look like they might be of a certain type of people, I watch them. And I look to make and see, wonder if they've shaved their arms. True sign of an Islamic bomber. They remove all body hair first. So certain things you watch for, certain things you look for, but then you begin to realize some Americans have now turned into Islamic militants. So one of them might come in and sit down by me and have on a baseball cap and a pair of tennis shoes or whatever more. Why? Because if once the enemy's tactics are identified, then he will simply slip undercover to where you won't pay as much attention to him. Now, this is, of course, what the devil has done. Now, when we pick it up here in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 12. But what I do, that I will do, that I may cut off occasion from them which desire occasion, that wherein they glory, they may be found even as we. For such are false apostles. Now, notice this was not so in the earlier years in the book of Acts. There were no false apostles. Why? Satan had not yet caught on to the warfare of what God was doing. You follow me, church? Satan did not see exactly what God was doing, but once he saw this was God's pattern that would be established from there right on out to the very end, then Satan came in as a master of impersonation, and he decided if God had apostles, he would have apostles. Now remember, God had prophets in the Old Testament, and Satan had already impersonated false prophets. But God never had apostles in the Old Testament. God never had evangelists in the Old Testament, right? God never had many of the same things that we know of today in the Old Testament. So Satan began to watch what God instilled into the church as a permanent fixture, not something that was going to come and go. And once he saw God was going to kind of lay with that program, then he decided he would pick up the same thing. So here come these spiritual terrorists anointed by demons that had originated in the presence of God, and they would come right in among the saints and say they were preaching the word. Even identifying themselves as an apostle. And of course they would not say, I'm an apostle of the devil, I'm ordained of hell, I'm sent to deceive you. But they would say, I am an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now if you were sitting there in this first century, and you heard a man coming in saying he was an apostle, and he said some things that you knew were right, but yet there was something about it, he wasn't quite saying what Paul said. Maybe he had more signs than Paul. Maybe more wonders. Or maybe there was something about his personality that was more likable than Paul. Would you have followed him? Testing, 1, 2, 1, 1, 2. Testing, 1. Notice Paul says, for such are false apostle, deceitful workers. Now notice, they're not people that just lays around. They are workers, and they work and work and do this. Oh my, my, work, 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 work. But they're deceitful workers. Now this is the supernatural part. Transforming themselves. Transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. So they come through the message of the day, transformer. They walk in it, a deceiver, a liar, a hypocrite. But they come through the transformer and they walk out on the other side, and only the elect will be able to tell the difference. Praise the Lord. Now why? They still maintain the gifted part that God gave them when they fell. Now remember, these are not just ordinary human beings that are doing this on their own. I'm talking about people that are inspired and anointed by these fallen angels that fell from heaven. My, my. Notice the next verse he says, and no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Now how amazing, since he is the prince of darkness. Why would the prince of darkness want to transform himself into an angel of light? Because he wants to appear like he's in the light of the day. Now if he would come with real scary teeth and a pitchfork and a forked tail and breathe fire out of his mouth, my, we'd all run out of here scared to death. He won't appear to you like that. He knows better. He knows better. But many times you'll say, the prophet said, the prophet said, the prophet said, the prophet said. Right? So what does he do? He transforms himself into. Now I want you to notice now, Paul didn't say as, but into. 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 An angel of light. Now remember, fourth dimension is the dimension of travel. This is why we can only break into speed so far, hypersonic and all that, but we'll never be able to break into the realm to travel like a thought. But God can. And so can demons. If a demon is in Europe today, all it needs to do is just think about being here if it wants to be here. It can fastly travel by dimensional travel and just basically the thought. Because it's in a dimension faster than we are. God did not take that capability away from these demons when they fell. Are you hearing me, church? Now, it's the same way that you and I are not warring against flesh and blood. This is why it's so important that we realize when spirits get on people and demons go to try to working in a family and whatever more, and you sit down and try to talk to people, a man and his wife or children or whatever it is, and you talk and you talk and you talk and you talk and you do everything to try to help. And you realize it is a spirit just beyond giving them the word to help them understand and sort through their problem. There is a demon. Now, what did demons do? Demons fight one another. They love division. They love variance. They love disorderly things. They love all that. That's where they live. So he, as an angel of light, many times tries to persuade people under the auspices of light to working against the light that he says he represents. Now listen, I just said a mouthful. He, as an angel of light, will try to present himself under the auspices of the light of the day. But he, really what he's doing, he's trying to pull people away from that very light by speaking so-called light. Notice how he says in verse 15, therefore it is no great thing if his... You mean the devil has preachers. Is this your Bible? It is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed. So we pull out the plug. It says 110 on the plug. We plug it into the plug, into the wall, the outlet. The power comes 110 from the outlet, comes up into the little box here on the amp, a transformer. goes through the transformer, comes out on the other side. It's no longer 110, 120 volt. It's now broke it down to 12. And makes it to where you can reach inside of there and touch that live wire. Why? The transformer reduced the voltage to where it will no longer kill you. Now, Satan and his demons have the ability, this is what's so scary if a man ever comes under this, that a man can be supernaturally transformed in his demeanor. And only the Holy Ghost discernment can pick it up. Because their lives can seem like they're right on the word. They say this, they say that, but somebody with the Holy Ghost pick it up just like that. Why? They are the word. Oh my, you're quiet on me today, but that's all right. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness. Now notice, whose end shall be according to their belief, faith, works. That's why it's so important that you don't just listen to what a man says, but you look and see what he's trying to accomplish. That tells me more about him than what he says. Oh my. Notice in Galatians chapter 1 verse 6. Now here we go to the church of Galatia, another church that Paul started. Of course, the church of Corinth was under Greek influence. The church of Corinth is a very, very carnal church that had all kinds of sexual problems, all kinds of things that was going on under the Greek influence. The Galatian church was a total different church or an Asia. And of course, they still have influence of Rome and different ones. That's why Paul will address different issues according to the church, because each church was a little bit different. Didn't mean that the Ephesian church was any better really than the Galatian church. Every church has got problems. Some of you have got your idea in this favorite church you're going to move to because there ain't no problems there. You're as dumb as a doorbell. You ain't got enough sense. I'm telling you what, you're just as dumb as you can be. Every church has got their problems. The difference between me and other preachers is some other preachers splice their sermons and don't let you know their problems, and I don't. If I told you the adulteries and the sins that I know in some of your favorite preachers' church, some of you all would not believe it. Well, hallelujah. Now Paul says, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you unto the grace of Christ unto another gospel. Now watch, Satan has now sent transformed ministers in among the Galatian people. Now this would have never worked in the Corinthian church at all, because their makeup is entirely different. The Galatian church is made up of quite a few Jews. So they were already circumcised naturally. The Corinthian church is basically all Gentiles, and the Gentiles didn't lean toward the ritual of circumcision anyway. But the Galatian people, having a great continental majority of Jews, they lean more toward the Mosaic law. And Satan knew exactly how to transform a certain minister and send him right into the Galatian church. The Corinthian church had rode that guy on a rail. The church at Ephesus would have heard him one sermon, they'd have put him a going. But you see, the devil knows how to custom fit even false preachers in order to make them work. Now, church, don't get quiet on me now. Brother Donnie, who are you throwing this at? Everybody and nobody. Everybody in general, nobody in particular. I just want the devil to know we're not dumb to his tactics. I want the devil to know we know how to fight. This is not game where we're playing war. I know how to fight. How many knows how to fight with me? We know how to fight. We are an army, and we are not a bunch of chickens or pansies. We are a terrible army. Now, you know what they had done? They began to merge and convert, or pervert rather, I should say, the gospel of Christ. And they wanted to merge the gospel of Christ into the old school of Judaism under the Mosaic law. Okay, yeah, you're a Christian, you're saved and all that sort of thing, but you still need to be circumcised. You can't do this and you can't do that. And you can't eat this meat, that meat, and all that. So they wanted to merge it together. And that was a perfect menu for some of the Galatians. So Paul calls it another gospel, which is not another. He said, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be blessed. Give him Godspeed. Send him your tithes. Stand right with him. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than we have received, let him be accursed. Let me just be plain and frank. There's one way to heaven, that's through Jesus Christ. Every believer of Islam will be lost unless they accept the Lord Jesus as their Savior. Every believer of Shintoism, every believer of Taoism, every believer of all these other things will be totally lost. There is one way to heaven, and that is through Jesus Christ. Now, hopefully some of those who fit into the heathen category that never heard about the gospel, and they will be given the opportunity in the millennium. But those who have heard about Jesus Christ and have turned down God's provided way, even though their names may be on the Lamb's Book of Life, they will absolutely be refused. It makes no difference how many times they pray a day, no matter how many cities they blow up for Allah, how many things they do for this, that, and other, they will be lost. Amen. Do you hear me, church? There's only one way. Amen. Notice chapter 2, verse 3. Again, Paul says, neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. Now, of course, Titus became a great preacher, we know, in the first century there. A great man of the gospel, loved the Lord, but yet Titus was a Greek. So he had not been circumcised. So whenever the so-called message believers, which were hung upon circumcision, whenever they heard that Titus was there being a Greek, they said, this man ain't coming into the message unless he comes through us. He's got to be circumcised. And Paul identifies real quick who it was. And he said, and that, verse 4, because of false brethren. Unawares brought in. Now, where did this false brethren anointing come from? Fallen angels. So the angels which fell out of heaven would still have the chains on them. They now begin to anoint people. So they release this anointing from their being. They get around people and they go to releasing this. Whispering to them. Talking to them. It's like I read this morning when Brother Branham would call out a person. And the person was in the prayer line. They come up on the platform. And he said, you got a cancer. It's that demon. He said, there's another person out there with the same thing on them. Can't you all hear that? He's screaming, help me. Keep them from believing. Keep them from believing. Now this is communication between two demons in the fourth dimension. I've often wondered what them devils talked about when they went back to hell. Whenever this devil up here got cast out of this woman, that devil back there got cast out of this woman because this devil up here told on that devil back there. You imagine when they get down in hell and they go to duking it out. You aggravating thing. You'd have never seen me if you hadn't have done that. Why in the world you told on me and you both? Oh my, that gift of God, that demon inside that person was scared to death. And what did it do? At least it had enough sense to cry out for help. Keep him from believing. And here they were communicating and talking by streaks of darkness. Oh my, here in 1953, he said, Saint, can't you see that light? He said, all over everywhere, them demons are screaming out for help. They're begging for mercy. They're begging for mercy, but the light is gathering. The light is gathering. And he said, the outcome of this battle will be determined by your faith. In a few minutes, he goes on, he said, there it is. It just turned light over the whole congregation. The devil has been defeated. Hallelujah, the devil has been defeated. And people got up off of their wheelchairs. People got up off of their stretchers. Oh my. I don't want to scare you, but actually, the largest congregation that I preach to is unseen, invisible. And I ain't talking about just streaming, folks. I'm talking about the largest congregation that ever gathers anywhere any true man of God preaches is demons. They're right here this morning. Oh, I love that when he comes that way. I love that presence of God whenever you go to feeling them devils and they go get nervous. They hate to be exposed. They cannot stand it. Do you understand? It scares demons when they are ready to be exposed. It scares them. Good. I like scaring devils. Amen. Now what will them demons do? They will try to come with an anointing. And they will anoint the minds of the people. He's throwing that at you. He's throwing that at so-and-so. He's trying to get that at so-and-so. You're baby sick. Did you leave the curling iron on at home? Oh no, you forgot to turn the beans off. Oh no, you didn't lock the car door. You know thieves are coming through your community and you're sitting there trying to press through. And before long it overcomes and you just go home. Do you understand what that is? It's them unseen forces that are trying to hinder you from receiving the light of the Word of God. Amen. The light of the Word of God that comes and deliver you. And they are there with pulsations of darkness. They are there with anointings to occupy your mind. Or make you so sleepy. If some of y'all could feel this way at about 10:30 at night, how much would you give for it? $20 a pill? I want easy. Now 30, now 35, 35, 40, 40, 40, 45, 50. Who'll give me 50, 55, 53? What is it? War. War. He was unable to stop you from coming today, so he will move into the next cycle, and that is stop you from getting anything that will help you. And if he can convince you that the preacher's leadership is totally human, you'd be surprised how much that limits what you get. Because if you think I'm preaching something because somebody told me this or somebody told me that, or Brother Terry gets up and preaches, or Brother Gene, who rests these brothers, Brother Amos. Well, you know, Brother Amos is only preaching that because his wife, Sister Lisa, was standing in the bathroom and she heard so-and-so say so-and-so say so-and-so. And then what does it do? It makes the leadership appear entirely human. Amen. Oh, Brother Donnie, I could never receive anything from anybody that was told. I hate to hear that. I really do, because, man alive, I was going to read a scripture here where Paul said he'd heard from the household of Chloe. I really hate you. You're going to have to tear that out of your Bible when you go out. Delete that from your Kindle. Oh my. Notice this. Paul says, they come to spy on our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage. To whom we gave place by subjection, no, not for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. But of these who seem to be somewhat, whatsoever they were, it maketh no matter to me. Where did he go to preacher school? Me and him graduated from the same seminary. It maketh no matter to me, he says. God accepteth no man's person. For they who seem to be somewhat in conference added nothing to me. Romans chapter 16 verse 17. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses. And mark them means simply observe attentively, cautiously, and faithfully. Be on your guard against them. Ascertain who are the real causes of divisions that spring up in the church and avoid them. Now, why should we take time to read such things in the Word of God? Why not deal with just deep mysteries and all that? Because the church isn't just about deep mysteries. The church is an army. There's secrets that armies have. There's passwords that armies have. There's certain things that they're the only ones that knows anything about it. But all them secret passwords, all that learning, all that training, all of that is for what? War. War. It is to make you a better soldier in the battle you're in. So tell me, which one of the seven thunders do you use, brothers, whenever you're tempted by lust to look after a woman that's half-dressed?
church deep mystery is it that you reach down on your arsenal, Brother Jim, when you feel like if that phone in the library rings one more time, you're going to pick it up and throw it outside? Which deep mystery is it that you reach down and grab a hold of to overcome?
Praise the Lord. Oh my, this is why folks don't like this kind of preaching. See? Too simple. Nah. Now this is what the Bible says. I mean, I know we don't do it anymore. The majority of the church world, you mark somebody in the church and you know, you're just out. Well, this is what the Bible says. Mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned and avoid them. Offenses and divisions. What is Paul doing? He's teaching them how to war. Well, what about the deep part? What difference does it make how deep you are if you don't know how to fight? Let me ask you something. If you was ever in a real hard spot, would you want a rocket scientist as your buddy which couldn't even handle a sword? Or would you want a guy that had been into a street fight several times and you could tell by the knuckles on his hand, I'll pick that guy any day out of the week. I mean, if it's coming right down the line, give me somebody. He may say haint and fetch and tote and carry and all that sort of thing. But man, he's meaner than a tomcat. He'll face a cross-eyed bobcat right in a minute. He'll stand right up there and he's got your back. Then some professor, now I don't think it's very conspicuous for us to tackle this bobcat because it is not very deep. And I don't think, there goes one eyeball, scratch, there goes half of his nose. Don't give me somebody like that. Give me somebody said, come on, buddy, you have trespass our property. We are the church of the living God. We will not bow to your whim, Satan. We will not bow to your false prophets nor your false apostle. Come on, devil, if you want to tangle, it's your demise.
Second Thessalonians chapter 3 verse 6.
Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly. This is not a suggestion. This is a command from the Word of God. And if you don't do it, you're breaking the Word just like bobbing your hair, wearing lipstick. Praise the Lord. I think we need to get back to reading our Bibles again. Why don't y'all cut the amount of time you spend on Facebook by 135 and spend it right here on this Facebook? Quit answering so many texts and emails and get back to prayer and a consecrated walk with God. We'll find ourselves ready for a rapture instead of social media. Now this is what Paul said to do. Now I command you, brethren, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that ye withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly. Look at the word disorderly. It is out of ranks, often so of soldiers, irregular, inordinate, immoderate, pleasures, deviating from the prescribed order of rule. So what do we got? We have got him teaching an army how to not only march themselves, but to draw away from the man that they see getting out of their own ranks and trying to cause trouble. Notice again back there to verse 17 in Romans. I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them, for they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly. And by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. Now, because this is under the power of transformation, many, many people around this message have been deceived by fair speeches. But they're convinced it's such depth and it's such mysteries. Why? It's coming through the power of transformation. And they consider themselves as recipients of that. So deep, and oh my, they're so deep. But the Bible actually calls them very simple.
But what is it? It's power of transformation that these angels have. So the angels take the fair speeches and more. They anoint these men. Man, they rattle it out. They can throw facts and figures and those. Oh, my Lord. I never heard such preaching. Oh, my goodness. Have you ever heard such in your life? Oh, my. What is it? Power of transformation. So it comes through and comes out on the other side. And the people on the other side are convinced. Now, you're special. You're deeper than everybody else. Oh, you're now, everybody else is so simple.
When in reality, Paul said the ones who receive such trash are so simple themselves. Not deep at all. You can't get no deeper than this. Any revelation that's contrary to this is a lie from hell. Right. Now watch how he says this. He says, and by good words, by good words. Now what are this? These are men that are self-centered, of course, and self-interest. They have a desire, a motive, something in mind. Now what did the devil do? Now he sent these demons. Notice what now among the Roman church. Here are the Romans, of course, majority Gentiles. And something now had come down among them. What's the devil doing? He's going all over the known world. Everywhere the apostles go, the devil's following. Everywhere Peter went, the devil followed him. Everywhere Mark went, the devil followed him. Everywhere Thomas went through India, the devil followed him. Why? Let the gospel go forth first. Let it be sown. Then come in behind them. That's why we had to have all these things follow us. All these eight messengers and all these other angels and all this, that, and other. It's got to follow. It'll draw those whose names is known in the book, and it'll make you stick out like never before. It'll shake you sometime to your very foundation. And it'll make you dig deeper than you've ever dug. And when the storm passes, you're still standing. And the simple-minded have fallen with whatever new ism that they've gone to follow. Now watch, he says, by good words and fair speeches. And the words is mild, fair, plausible speeches. With an appearance of great sincerity and regard for truth. Now what are they? Wolves. In sheep's clothing. Pardon me. I always have a problem with that wolf nose. Get in there.
Boy, it hurts, man. It'll take me a few minutes, but I'll be okay.
Gotta get that down right. Quit that.
Do they honestly think a costume transforms them? The thing of it is, poor old dumb devil, I don't reckon he realizes that in my Holy Ghost, I got a spiritual metal detector. So you go to getting around folks and, you know, brother, how are you? God bless you, brother. God bless you. Hey, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And all of a sudden they're going, ang, 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 ang. You don't say one thing. You don't say one thing. You just watch. You watch and you listen. And you listen, and you listen for 5 years, and you listen for 10, and every time you get around them, they don't know what you're doing. They feel funny because they can feel you pulling on them, but they don't know what it is. And it's you pulling on that spirit of theirs. I can't explain it to you, but it's the way it is. You pull on that something, and that buzzer's going off inside of your soul. It's the zipper. It's the zipper. And they go around and preaching, oh my, everybody just follow me, oh hallelujah, glory to God, amen, amen, amen. And the whole thing right there, just that zipper on the inside, what is it? But in time, that old wolf will outgrow his clothes. In time, that old wolf will go to fleecing the sheep. He'll go to fattening himself up on the sheep. And then he'll build a little kingdom, the prophet said, around himself. And he'll get to where he don't even need the disguise no more. And he'll take it off. Listen to me, children. The Holy Ghost will not allow us to be deceived. It is only our flesh. It is only our vanity that will allow us to be deceived. Don't shut up the warning buzzer of the Holy Ghost. Oh my. Whew. Paul says here that they use fair speeches. And the Greek word means eulogy, praise, flattery. Flattery is one of the most powerful means of forming parties in the church. A little special attention, or the promise of an office, or the commendation of gifts or talents. You're so gifted and you're not being used. That ain't right. That ain't right. Tell you one thing, if I was the pastor, if I had me a little group somewhere, I would do. What'd you say, Brother Absalom? Fair speeches. Notice 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 17. Now notice this is not just one man saying this. But Paul said it, James said it, Peter said it, Jude said it. Why? The enemy is now among them. Them same demons that fell from heaven. God help us. Peter says they are wells without water, clouds that are carried with the tempest, to whom the mist of darkness is reserved forever. For when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lusts of the flesh, through much wantonness, those that were clean escaped from them who live in error. Jude, verse 16, these are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lusts, and their mouths speaking great swelling words, having men's person in admiration because of advantage. My. These are they which serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own bellies. Their own motives, their own objectives. Oh my. Can I go on a little farther? Amen. Tell me so. Amen. Notice they are smooth, plausible. Look in Revelation 2. I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience. Thou cannot bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles. Oh my goodness, you mean you don't get in trouble doing that? You get in trouble when you don't do it. Man says he's called of God, loves God. I'm going to try the man. I ain't going to try his spirit. I'm going to look at his doctrine. I'm going to see his church. Look at the followers around him. Are they kingdom builders? Are they God builders? And more than likely, he is in secret. Praise the Lord. Amen. Notice what this first century believer's done. There was some people among them that was apostles, and they walked out to say, you ain't saying what Paul said. Therefore, you're a liar. That's right. Of course, now there's no way in the world we'd do that in Laodicea. Cause we're all jellyfish. We're chickens, cowards, yellow bellies. We want to say things that will make nobody mad. Cause we got love. You're on dope. You ain't got love. Love tells the truth. Love will skin the hide off of your wife. Love will skin the hide off the preacher's daughter, the preacher's son-in-law, whoever more, and the preacher himself. That's what real love does. I love this in Ephesians church age. Thou hast tried them to say they are apostles and are not, and has found them liars. My, that is a blunt statement. Thou hast tried them to call themselves apostles. Isn't that presumptuous? What right has a people to try those who call themselves apostles? And how do they try them? Oh, I love this. Here it is, Galatians 1 and 8. Now watch, he reads the scripture that we just read. An angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than we have already preached unto you, let him be accursed. It was the apostles who brought the original word. Did anybody says he's preaching the gospel and denies the same power that fell on Pentecost is not saying what the apostles said. Same Holy Ghost, same sensation, same demonstration, same new birth, with the same kind of people acting the same kind of way. Come on, church. That's what the original word says. Oh, my. Paul knew that it was God who spoke to him. He said, even if I come and try to give a second revelation to make a little change in what I gave originally, let me be accursed. You see, Paul knew that first revelation was correct. God can't give a first revelation, then a second revelation. If he did, it would be changing his mind. God can't say that there's supposed to be seven church angels and then say, oh man, I didn't realize it was going to get so bad. I need to slide a 7.5 in there somehow. And then a 7.75, and then 7.625, and then 7.1116, and then 7.1316, and then 7.1516, and then I'm after slot an 8 or a 9th or a 10th or 11th. I didn't realize it was going to go on this long. I just figured Malachi 4 go out there so far. Oh my, I need another prophet. I need another messenger. So I need to start all over again. I need to start sending all kinds of pillars and lights and fires and doves and rings of fire and this and that and the other. You poor deceived person. The Bible calls you silly. You're not deep. You're silly. Amen. Silly. Well, why does stuff like that go over? Because as the angels got dissatisfied in heaven, so do folks get dissatisfied sitting in a church. Right. Where a preacher tells them how to live, how to love, how to walk, how to forgive. And somehow they think in their mind, there's got to be more to it than this. There's got to be more than being the living word. Really? Wow. I realize I'm simple, but what can be more than being the living word? What can be more than being a living, written epistle known and read of all men? Let me close with this, finish up with this quote. God's word can't change. The seed came exactly as it revealed. Hallelujah. And you see what those false apostles were doing? They came with their own word. Those Ephesians knew that word as Paul had taught it. They were full of the Holy Ghost. Amen. By the laying on of Paul's hands. And they looked those false apostles in the eye and said, God bless you, brother. I would never want to hurt your feelings or anything because I'm just so full of love that you're not saying what Paul said. You are therefore false. I love the way he goes on with this. He said, oh, that sets my heart on fire. Get back to the word. It is not you that really tries the apostle, the prophet, and teacher. It's the word that tries them. It's the word. Make sure now if you're going to try some man, make sure you're not trying it by your tradition or your concept. Make sure it's the word of God from Genesis to Revelation. That word, God can never add one revelation contrary to his word. What am I teaching you, friends? How to fight. How to fight. It's very evident by some of the different things that many of you have been in through the years that you've been in the message. You didn't know how to fight. You would have never followed this. You would have never followed that. You'd never went that way or that way had you known the word and know to try them by the word. Now you bear a lot of scars of all the trash and all the preachers that you sat under. Whew. Oh my. One of these days there's going to come a prophet to the Laodicean age and you will know if he's the real one sent from God or not. Yes, you will. For he is of God. He will be in that word exactly as God gave it to Paul. He won't deviate from that word for a moment, not of one iota. In the last days when there will be many false prophets appearing, watch and see how they keep telling you. If you don't believe them and what they say, you will be lost. Look at the moves that have raved up around this message, and the final census of it is this. If you don't follow them, you won't go in the rapture. If you don't believe what they say, you're not bride. If you're not hooked up to them and you're not streaming from them and you don't get their CDs, you're not bride. You're not saying what the prophet said. As a matter of fact, if you believe that, you're believing false prophets. Oh my. But when that last day prophet comes on the scene, if he is truly that prophet, he will be crying out, get back to the word or you're lost. He won't build on a private revelation or interpretation, but on the word. Amen, amen. These false apostles are the grievous wolves that Paul spoke of. Once I'm gone, they'll try to come and claim equal revelation. But their purpose, it's not to help you. But the simple listen, and by fair speeches, become the pawns of these men to manipulate and do what they want done.
Amen.
Why in the world, children? Why would we want to build a little Happy Valley kingdom or a little Donnie Reagan kingdom? What if I got several thousand followers around the world? Countries all over the world and nations all over the world that stream our service and look to me as their pastor and all that. What good would I want to take all of that and build a little tiny Donnie Reagan kingdom? And have my little kingdom built around me, as Brother Bram said, that they do an influence, that preacher will begin to build a little kingdom around himself. And then listen to you as you feed to me. Oh, Brother Donnie, you're the greatest. Oh, nobody's like you. Oh, my, whoa, we're this, that. And why would I want to accept that when I can be a part of the biggest, most wonderful, greatest kingdom that the world has ever known? But you see, I can't have my own little private Donnie Reagan kingdom and be a part of that kingdom, because Jesus would look at me and consider me a threat.
That's right.
You'd think of some of these preachers that think they know so much and they're so smart, they would follow the example of all the rest of the kingdom builders. Show me one that's standing to this day. I could stand here today and name names. I could name groups. I can name all the affiliations and look at every one of them that's come and gone. And many of their followings collapse before they ever die themselves. And once they do die, the remnant of it is gone. Don't you understand why this message is going on and growing? Because this is not a William Branham kingdom. This is not a William Branham kingdom. This is the message of the hour. This is the message of God. It's not a William Branham kingdom. We don't have to work on people's minds and pervert their minds and brainwash their minds like many of the religions do to get followers. We're born into this. We're born into this. It's not a William Branham kingdom. I would absolutely stand against a kingdom that was built by William Branham. I would preach against a William Branham kingdom. I would stand against it with all of my heart. But the reason I don't stand against this, because it is not a William Branham kingdom. It is the kingdom of God. Amen. Paul was not trying to build a Paul kingdom or David a David kingdom. What was it? The kingdom of God living through them. Hallelujah. Let's stand. Praise God. The beautiful, beautiful, humble, meek bride. She's as beautiful as Tirzah, comely as Jerusalem. She smells with all the fragrant, expensive perfumes of the East. Her eyes are like dove's eyes. Her hair is like the flock of the goats that come from En Gedi. Her voice is like honeycomb. And her mouth filled with honey. And yet, she is terrible as an army. How can someone so dainty and feminine cut your head off? I've used the example before, and I'll use it again. If someone breaks into my house, and I hear them in the other room, and I tell Carol, I'm tired. Go in there and take care of him. Carol grabs on her robe, steps in there. It's an ex-con. He just broke out of the prison over here. She grabs a hold of him. Ha! Yeah! Woo! Ha! 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 Get that guy down on the floor. Got him by the back of the arm, twisting him, begging, please, ma'am, please let me go. Please call the cops. Please call the cops. And then tomorrow her picture would be in the paper. Of course the write-up would be totally different than mine. Pastor's wife catches ex-con while pastor is conked out in bed. People would pick that up, they'd read, they'd slap the... Lord, I'd hate to meet that woman on the street, they'd say.
You know what that woman looks like? There's her picture.
Well, she'd be going through the drive-thru at Bojangles. I seen you at the picture. A man told me at the restaurant, he said, I know I've seen you somewhere and I can't place where it is. I never did tell him either.
He come back again and said, I know it's going to hit me whenever you leave, but I know I've seen your face somewhere. I said, really? Really?
Lord, children, we don't want to be terrible to one another. We don't want to be terrible to humans. We don't want to be terrible to false prophets. But when false prophets move, or liars move, or dissension moves, it brings out that attribute, Brother Terry, in this bride, that we will fight if necessary.
But see, this is the amazing part. Once we get it done, we get the blood cleaned up, we put our wedding dress back on, we just...
What are you doing? Just sitting around being pretty. I'm the bride. That's what I do. I just sit around and be pretty.
But then war breaks out. Cut that one's head off. Knock that one's eye out. Busting this one's goozle out. I cut his liver out. Cut his throat out. I hung this one upside down.
Go and change clothes. Here comes the bride. Here comes...
You see, you're not in the bride unless you have this attribute to be terrible as an army. The Lord Jesus himself is describing her as Moses when he grinds the calf into powder and he said, who is on the Lord's side? I love the way he says this. Who is on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me. Whoa. If you're on the Lord's side, come and join with me. Why? He knew he was the prophet of God of the age, and he had the word. And if you was on the Lord's side, you would be with the prophet of the age. May I say it's the same thing today. The Levites drew their swords and went among their own brethren and killed 3,000 of the children of Israel. You think that was pleasant? Of course not. But it was a command. I had to do it. Children, love. Be gentle. Be courteous. Be kind. A soft answer turneth away wrath. All them scriptures. But when need be. And when the task is done. You see, people with an agenda draw their sword and they build up this attitude and they blast and they rip and tear and they're using their sword for an agenda. Bride and bride ministers draw the sword when need be, when the job is done. They sheath it, put it back up, put the wedding gown back on. And just sit around pleasing Jesus. Of course, I'll tell you one thing anymore. The battle's been so close together. I'm not sure how long it's been since I've had my wedding dress on. I feel like I sleep in my army fatigues anymore. I preach in them, sleep in them, go to the bathroom in them, take a shower in them. I'm afraid to take them off. Come on, you shave with them on, you do your garden work with them on. It seems like I ain't had my wedding gown on a long time. But I'll tell you one thing, before long, I'm going to cut off the last devil's head. I'm going to go through the last battle and I'm going to hang up my sword and shield. Let mine be hung up with mighty men. Let mine be hung up and then I can put on that and I'll fight wars. No more. Let's bow our heads together. Dear Heavenly Father, how we love you today, Lord. We realize this is part of the gospel, prepping us to fight, how to deal with opposition. Opposition in our family, opposition in our home, in our church, in the world. How much of the Bible is written pertaining to such stuff. I wonder how many verses there would be in the Old Testament if we took out all the fighting and the war and the diligence of the people of God standing for what was right. How much would be stripped out of the New Testament, beginning with the four Gospels, if everything was taken out of you instructing us how to be and what to watch for and how to live. Same with the epistles.
Same with the book of Revelation. We'd have a whole lot thinner Bible for sure. Oh Lord, my preference is to sit around the table. Just to sit at the supper table with you and let my myrrh and my frankincense and my aloes just kind of swirl around you. Watch that smile come on your face. I don't like fighting, Lord. I don't like it. I just got to be honest with you. I don't like fighting. I don't like war. I don't like blood, especially when it's mine. I don't like dealing with all that. But it's part of who I am. And if the call for battle comes and I sit at the table and still trying to put out my perfume, I'm out of the will of God. And if the battle is finished and the skirmish is settled and we won, and I'm still out there picking on people trying to find somewhere to fight when I should be back at the table, I'm still out of the will of God. So it's like we have to be so sensitive and so led by the Spirit. We see it in the book of Acts that the church went through different cycles. They'd go through times of great persecution. And then the persecution would ease up and the Bible said, and the churches had rest. And then it would last for a little while. And then they'd go back into persecution again. There'd be another emperor that would raise up a Diocletian and send them into 10 years of tribulation. And then a Claudius and the different ones would come and they'd have some reprieve and give them a little bit of a rest. So we know, Lord, we must follow the leadership of the Holy Ghost. Help us, I pray, Lord. Teach us how to fight. Teach our hands to war. The Lord Jesus, war against sickness. War against darkness. War against the demons that hold our children. War against the demons that try to get in our families and split up our homes and divorce and all that sort of thing. It's constantly a war. But we believe we're more than able to win this warfare. Hallelujah. How many would like to be remembered today? Everybody with your heads bowed, please. Your eyes closed. Just raise your hand to the Lord. Maybe in the battle that you're fighting, whether you're a preacher or a housewife or whatever your vocation is, you're going to college, you're going to school, may God help each of us that we can fight the right way. When the table is called for supper, show up. Whenever the bugle is blown for war, show up. We want to be at the right place at the right time. Amen. Heavenly Father, I want to offer prayer for them now, Lord. Not only just those in the visible audience, but those invisible, dear God, around the world. Lord, no doubt the folks in Norway are fighting different things than what we fight. Some of the folks up north, Lord, some of the folks in Europe and Asia and Japan and, Lord, different places you see them, Lord. China. The things they fight, totally different than here. Yet, it's, Lord, it's still in the anointing of them same demons that fell from heaven. So whether we're Chinese, American, Spanish, African Americans, whatever we are, we need your help, Lord, all of us, to know how to fight. Oh, Lord, oh, how we long when we can stack our arms. Praise God. May I be able to be, Lord, as the prophet tells us the story of when the great emperor come through looking for someone to ride in the parade. And he comes by and all of his soldiers, his generals, his commanding officers are standing there, Lord. Their plumes are all trimmed. Their armor spotless. Their garments are standing there without a wrinkle. And he pulls up and he stops his chariot in front of this one man who's got scars all over his arms and scarred over his face. And he said, "Where did you get those scars?" He said, "On the battlefront for my Lord. For Nero." He said, "You climb up here in the chariot and ride with me." Lord Jesus, help us, I pray. These young ladies have bore the shame of what your word demands that they look like. These young men been laughed at. All of us, Lord, may we bear those battle scars proudly. So when the chariot comes, Lord Jesus, we'll be able to climb up and ride with you. Lift up ye everlasting gates and be ye lifted up, for the King of glory is coming in. Grant it, I pray, Lord. Give us courage. Sometimes as soldiers, Father, we get weak. We get tired of fighting. We get tired of the battles. We get weary of it, Lord. But I pray you'd give us strength, Father. As Paul warned Timothy, he said, "No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. Help us, Heavenly Father. We can constantly seek that balancing act of life in things around us, natural things that we do, natural places that we go, versus the spiritual call in our souls. Grant it, I pray, Lord Jesus. Praise God. Amen. And I want all you soldiers that are willing today, I want you to raise up your hands. Not in a ritual. Now listen to me before you raise them. I want you to listen to what you're raising for. I want you to raise them in a sign of surrender. Not to me, not to the enemy, your wife, your husband, but to the Lord Jesus. If he's willing to call you from the table of you sitting there enjoying his presence, if he calls you to fight, will you be willing to go? And when the battle is over and the saints are regathering around the table, will you be willing to sheath the sword and come back around again? Don't get that fighting in your blood now where you just fight and go on and fight. But change garments again and sit back there at the table of the King. Are you willing, children? Are you willing to be laughed at? Made fun of? If our laws by our Supreme Court and our state government and our federal government, if they pass laws against us, or if we do not marry homosexuals, or we do not do this and that and the other, our church will be shut down. If they do such a thing, are you still willing? Or would you be a secret believer? Are you willing? If you are, then raise your hands. Lord, help me to be willing. Lord, it's easy today for us to stand here and say, yes, I'll be willing no matter what comes. But Lord, when that comes, sometimes it's another thing. Lord, we don't want to be foolish today. We don't want to make promises that we can't keep. But we want to ask you to help us and give us strength, Lord. We don't know how our nation's going. We don't know for sure. Lord God, I pray you'd help us. Help me as a minister of the gospel that I'll be willing to stand, Lord. I hope I don't have to give my life, but if I do, help me to be willing. I hope our church don't have to be shut up, but if it is, help us to be willing that we'll not compromise. Lord God, I hope none of these saints here have to become martyrs. I hope, Lord God, that none of that ever comes our way. But Lord, if it does, help us to stand. Help us to be as our brothers and sisters before us, that we can walk up there gallantly, Lord God. Oh, granted, if we're persecuted at school, at college, on the job, whatever more, make us willing, Heavenly Father. Make us willing to stand for what's right and true. May we never compromise, Lord God. Maybe we never become discontented as the angels last night and put our estate up for sale. One soul, slightly used. Wasted a few years around the message. Wasted a few years at Happy Valley. But now my soul is for sale. We'll compromise for a Jezebel look. We'll compromise for worldly music. But just want out of this stuff. Oh God, may I never put a for sale sign up of my estate. May my soul always be true, faithful, and yours. Grant it, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You mean it, children. You mean it with all your heart. Praise be to God. Praise be to God. Would you turn around now as a confession of your faith? Shake hands with somebody and tell them, by God's grace, I want to stand for the truth. My brothers, by God's grace, I want to stand for the truth. Sister Betty, I want to stand for the truth. Brothers and sisters of the congregation, I want to stand for the truth. May God give us strength and courage, Brother Terry. May we be willing. Hallelujah. Let's fight when we need to fight. Let's sit at the supper table when supper's ready. Hallelujah. And if need be, if the battle cry goes off while we're sitting right there at the table, let the chains sweep over us. That subdued look, that demeanor of the bride sitting there, and all of a sudden we hear the trumpet sound, hallelujah, and something changes us. We walk out of there. We leave the banqueting table where the banner spread over us was love. You talking about a people of contrast. In this, you know, in the Bible it tells us that I was sitting at the banqueting table and his banner that was spread over me was love. But in a moment of time when the trumpet sounds and something moves upon you, and now it's the battle cry. And now the banner is not just the banner of love, it's the banner of war. You leave that genteel look, you leave that genteel surrounding, and all of a sudden you've got this appearance of warriors. Hardened warriors. And you say the kingdom's being attacked. The kingdom being attacked from the north. The kingdom being attacked here. Where you want me to go, sir? Where you want me to go? And all of a sudden we lay that genteel mannerism aside and we grab our swords. Then when it's subdued, we all gather back around the fellowship table. How you doing, brother? Doing wonderful. How you doing? Did you win up there? Oh, yeah, we won by God's grace. Praise God. Oh, ain't that wonderful? We did too. Thank God we won. Let's go back in and have fellowship together now. Let's sit around the Word. Oh, praise God. We just change. We're not sword rattling. You know, glory to God. I'll tell one thing. I done this and that and the other. No, we're changed back in that genteel little type of thing that the bride is. Just sitting there fluttering our dove eyes at the Lord Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let's just worship Him a little before we go. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We worship You, oh God. We bless Your name, Lord. You are worthy, Lord, of our praise, our adoration, our love, our commitment. Lord Jesus, thank You, Father. Thank You, Father. Hallelujah. 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 Thank You, Lord Jesus. We praise You, Lord. Amen. We worship You. Brother Larry, onward, Christian soldiers. Lord, God, as to war, the cross.
Come on, soldiers, let's march.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. With the cross,
yes,
of
Lord.
Jesus
going on. Sing it, children. Sing it as the army of God.
This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. All in my home.
Oh, yes, Lord.
All in my home.
Sing it now.
Oh, all in my home.
Oh, I'm gonna let it shine.
Let it shine.
Let it shine.
Let it shine.
Shine.
Let it shine.
Come, I'm gonna let it shine. believes that?
Amen.
Amen. God bless you, saints. Love you in the Lord. Carol, I'll be leaving this afternoon sometime, starting down toward Texas. The family camp starts in there this week, so I want you to remember that in prayer. Not for sure yet if they're going to be streaming, but as soon as I find out from Brother Tim, I'll let you know. Just be praying for the meetings there that the Lord will meet with us. Brother Ron Spencer, Brother Doug Baker, and myself will be there. So just pray for the meetings that God will meet in His presence. Amen. God bless you together. Let's pray together and we'll be dismissed. Brother Joel, just continue singing for us when we finish the prayer, if you would. Father, as we go from this place today, we ask the presence of God will go with each one. Lord, we pray that you'd be mindful of those that are traveling, Lord. Some of our saints gone to different meetings, some on vacation, this and that. Lord, we know it's a busy time of the year. A lot of heavy traffic on the roads. Pray that you'll watch over me and Carol as we travel down. And dear God, be mindful of us in the meetings there, I pray. Teach us how to fight. Teach us how to live. Teach us how to walk, how to love. Help us to know the sounds of the call to supper and the sounds to fight. Help us, Lord, to be able to follow your leading, I pray. Go with your children now, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. See you when we get back. Bless you, Brother Joel.
Everywhere you go, somebody's watching your life. Everywhere you go, somebody's watching your life. Everywhere you go, somebody's watching your life. So let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Oh, this little light of mine. Oh, this little light of mine. Oh, this little light of mine. I'm gonna let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Remember, everywhere you go, somebody's watching your life. Everywhere you go, oh, everywhere you go, somebody's watching your life. So let it shine, let it shine.